Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rolling back in on WWL, Jeff Nowak, Cullen Steele, taking you up till 8 p.m. here on Sports Talk. We're getting ready for Game 6 of the NBA Finals. We're going to bring in Will Guillory, NBA writer for The Athletic. How you doing, Will? You excited for the game tonight?
I'm doing well, man. I'm looking forward to it for sure. I think, you know, it seems like all signs are pointing to the Thunder winning the title tonight, but we know that the Pacers, man, they never give up. So I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel like Game 6 in the NBA Finals, we were talking about this last hour, like if you were ever going to have a crowd that you could feed on from an energy perspective, I don't think it gets any hotter than that. Like I go back to when the Pelicans were hosting the Blazers a couple years back. It feels like a lifetime ago in that sweep, but like they came back for Game 3 and it just, you could tell the crowd was hyping that team up to a level that like they weren't getting beat that night. Even the series against the Warriors, that Game 3, you know, like they won that game in large part because the energy they drew from the crowd. So I don't know. I kind of feel like the Pacers are a team, if Nesmith can shoot, if Nembhard can shoot, if Benedict Mathurin has a game, like they can make up for Halliburton probably not being, what, 60%? He's going to go, but at what level? I don't know. I kind of like the Pacers in this one.
And I think you're exactly right in that. I think everybody in the building realizes that they got to do a little bit more knowing that Halliburton's not 100%, right? I think that goes for the crowd, you know, all the guys you mentioned, Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam, Nembhard. I'm sure Mathurin's going to come out aggressive. Everybody's got to turn it up because they got to lift up Halliburton, and I think that's going to be the mindset for everybody in Indiana tonight. But I think, you know, what makes this Thunder team so impressive is that we've seen them in so many situations where their back has been against the wall during this playoffs, and we've just been waiting for them to kind of back down or look like a young team, look unprepared for the moment, and over again, they figured out a way to answer it. They've gotten Jalen Williams or Shai Gilgeous or one of these guys to step up, and I think, you know, that's what's made this run so impressive for that team, and I think it's going to be another huge test for them tonight to get this thing done, because, you know, once it comes down to Game 7, anything can happen, right? So I think the best thing for OKC to do is finish this thing off tonight and not even allow it to go there.
You know, Jalen Williams is a guy that not to just compare him to a Jalen, but he kind of reminded me of Jaylen Brown with Jason Tatum, and like you kind of forget about him. Right, he's there. He's an elite scorer, but when he's there next to Shai, he's the Robin, right? Like you never think of him as the star, but then he goes out and drops 40, and you're like, wait, he can do that? You know, where do you kind of land on Jalen in terms of like where would you rank him in terms of the NBA's elite players? Because it feels like you could compare them pretty closely to being a younger version of Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I had Jalen Williams all NBA on my, you know, awards ballot this year. You know, he's an incredible player. You know, both ends of the court, you know, I had him all defense second team as well. So he's a guy who contributes in so many different ways. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I think Jalen Williams has kind of been a shining example of what this Thunder run has been, because, you know, it's not that long ago we were watching that Denver series and we were saying, man, Jalen Williams, where is he? Like, can they even get 20 from this guy? And that series just seemed like every single possession it was Shai Gilgeous, and he was carrying so much. And I think we've seen throughout this playoffs him learn, him grow, his confidence lift. I mean, the thought of him scoring 40 points in a game was like no way. People in the first two series, just because he was so quiet on so nice, and then seeing the level of aggression he played with in Game 5 with the season on the line, it's just another example of how much this Thunder team has just evolved throughout this playoff run. And it's what's been so special about what they've done. They've grown, they've matured. They were dominant during the regular season, and they're a better team now than they were during the regular season. It's just extremely impressive what they've done and what they've been able to put together. And knowing now that Jalen Williams is this, I mean, the sky's the limit. Because if they would have lost in that second round series against Denver, I think a lot of the talk would have been, do you get rid of Jalen Williams, right? Is it time to move on from him and get a veteran in there who can help Shea? But now that he's proven he can be this guy, who knows, you know, what OKC can do with the squad now.
Yeah, I mean, another reason to compare him to the Boston guys, because everyone kept talking about, oh, do you need to break those guys up? Can they win together? Yep. Then they did, and now no one really talks about it. They talk about it now because Jason Tatum's hurt. I have kind of a theoretical question for you that I'm kind of fascinated by. This Thunder team versus the other Thunder team that got to the finals, the one with Durant, Harden, Ibaka, Westbrook, those two teams in a seven-game series, who wins?
Oh, man, that's a tough one because, you know, that version of Kevin Durant was so special.
Elite, yeah.
and then seeing that version of KD versus, you know, Lou Dort and Caruso would have been something. But I think this version of the Thunder team, I think what makes them great is that they're just so deep and they can easily, you know, have 7-8 guys make an impact. And that old Thunder team, that the top five guys were elite, but then, you know, once they started dipping into that bench, it got a little rough. So I think I would roll with this team. And just like I said, at the end of the day, we've seen this team respond so many times. And I think we saw it a little bit with that Thunder team, but I don't think we've seen it as much as we have with this group.
Yeah, and if anything, that Thunder team with Durant and Westbrook and Ibaka and Harden, and like that team is the case study of you better win when you get there, because no matter how good your future looks, you may never get back, right? Like you got to take advantage of those opportunities, because I think there's that picture floating around of all those guys walking on the court together, and it's like you would have guessed at that time, like, yeah, they lost to LeBron, but they'll be back. They never even got close to coming back.
Oh, yeah, you don't even have to look that far back. Just think this time last year, we were looking at Boston like, oh, man, Tatum and Brown, true. They finally got one. How many more can they get? You know, they finally got the monkey off their back. Now they can start reeling off a dynasty here. And now Tatum's hurt. They're breaking up that group this summer. And who knows when Boston's going to be able to get back. So you're 100% right. Once you have a chance, you got to take advantage. And the Thunder have made it happen. And now, I mean, looking at how young that roster is, you can't help but feel like they're going to be back here. But who knows, man, with how crazy the Western Conference is, the injuries in the NBA, being able to get it done with these guys is going to be a huge achievement for this team.
No doubt. And, you know, switching over to the Pelicans a little bit, obviously they pulled off a trade this week. They picked up the number 23 pick in the draft from the Pacers, you know, a mid-finals trade. You don't see that very often. and they sent the 2026 pick they got from the Raptors in the Brandon Ingram trade over. What are your thoughts on that trade? Do you think it's more about ammunition than maybe looking for two young players, or do you think they're going to sit and make both those picks?
Yeah, right now, if I had to make a bet, I would say I think they're going to end up making both picks, but I do think they're going to be making some calls, seeing if there's any potential for them to move up, or if they can kind of, if there are any other guys out there who may be interested and they can go after. But I think that's the most interesting part about what they've done, just how they kind of are very flexible now with having these two picks in their pocket, where they can go in any direction. They can kind of they can be more risky with the first pick. They can be more risk adverse and be more risky with the second pick. They can trade the second pick, keep the first pick, whatever. But I think the big thing now is Joe Dumars being able to really show what he wants this team to look like and really start building that foundation out. And we saw that year one with David Griffin, right? That first 2019 draft when he drafted Zion Williamson, Jackson Hayes, and Nickeil Alexander-Walker all in his first draft. And I think now we're going to see Joe Dumars have a similar opportunity to really show what type of team he wants to build, what type of players he wants to really, you know, showcase and say, hey, these are my guys. And I think that's a really important way for him to start this thing out. And I think it's big for him also to start building out the depth of this team, why it's going to be important to hit on these picks, because we know what they have in Zion and Trey Murphy and Herb and those guys. But I think there are going to be some real questions about that bench now that they've kind of lost some of that depth over the past couple of years. So seeing him build that out with these picks is going to be really important.
Yeah, and I mean, what do you think Dumars is going to prioritize in this off season, right? Like, where do you think this team is going to plan to kind of build up? Because it's been a deep team. Like, you've never looked at this team and said they don't have players to come off the bench. The health has been an issue, but it's like you only can field put so many players on the court at a time, right? You got to have the stars, and I don't know. Like, I wonder if they have the horses right now to kind of go with the role players.
Yeah, and I think you kind of alluded to it there. I think they want to bring in guys who are reliable, guys who you know what you're getting from them on a nightly basis, who kind of take that professional approach. I think that's what Dumars is really emphasizing coming in. He wants to really establish that culture, that accountability within the building, where guys know what to expect from each other on a nightly basis. And I think that's been the most frustrating thing about this Pelicans team, is that you see the talent, you see the potential, but any given night you show up to the Smoothie King Center and you don't know who's playing, what style of player, you know, what are they emphasizing that night? Who knows? Because there's so much changing from night to night with this team because of the injuries. And I think what Dumars wants to do is really establish, hey, this is who we are, these are the guys we're playing. And I think there are a few options there at seven. That's why I like where they are at seven. You don't really have to force anything there. You don't have to, you can just allow the draft to play out and see where it lands. But I think, you know, having two picks now really allows you to lean even more into what you want.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So who are some of the players that you think would be a fit, whether they stay at seven or even maybe move up if they try to move up and get aggressive?
Yeah, I think the two names I really circled from the beginning are Con Knipple, the two-guard from Duke, a really talented guy, can shoot the ball, can make some plays off the dribble, got good size, obviously, you know, was on the most talented team in college basketball last year, played an important role. And also Jeremiah Fears, I think more of a developmental guy. I'm not looking at him to be a real impact in year one, but he's a guy who can be that lead guard, be a guy who can make plays in pick and roll, getting downhill, something the Pels have been looking for, right? They wanted to make that happen with DeJounte Murray, and he got hurt last year. So now I think bringing in Jeremiah Fears will give you an opportunity to really have an answer there, you know, going into the future. But I think a wild card is also Kamal Mallowash, the big man from Duke, who a lot of people are, you know, polarized on. But I think he's a guy who can really – you take him at seven and you can say, hey, we're building the defensive identity. We want to be big. We want to protect the rim. We want to have big guys who can protect Zion Williamson, allow him to play that point Zion role. That would be a real interesting one. But I lean more towards the Knipple, Fears, those two guys, whichever one ends up falling to you at seven.
So my only issue with Fears, my only fear with Fears is I look at him and I see Kyra Lewis. Like, I see a very, very similar player. And that, I guess that's not fair because Kyra, you know, there's a lot of reasons they liked Kyra coming out. Both super young guys can get to the rim in a flash. I don't know if just Kyra never really developed at the NBA level. What do you not see them as similar players, or what do you see in Fears that makes you like him so much?
I think there's a similar fear whenever you draft these smaller guards, right? Because those guys are either really good or you're a bench player, right? There's no real in-between, because if you're not really a top-notch guy as a smaller 6'3", 6'2 guard, then you're going to get targeted a lot of times in these playoff series. We've seen that over and over again. And I think the thing with Fears, I think he just got a little bit more feel at the point guard position, where Kyra Lewis was just a pure athlete. It was more speed, more transition. I think you see Fears in these pick-and-roll situations really understanding, you know, space, understanding how to use the role man, how to read the corner help. I think he just sees the floor a little bit better than Kyra Lewis. The big thing with Fears is, like, can you trust his jumper? How much of a threat will he be playing off the ball? Obviously, he's going to be on a team with Zion Williamson, so you got to be a threat off the ball if you're going to be on the court. But I really like Fears and what he can be. But I think the real question is, what is he going to look like playing on a team with Zion Williamson, with Trey Murphy, where he's asked to play off the ball a little bit more, how effective he'll be?
Yeah, so I guess the Kyra Lewis would be the I'm afraid of this pick comp. The I want to make this pick comp is probably De'Aaron Fox. Would you say that would be a similar player to what you'd be getting in Fears?
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. I like De'Aaron Fox. Going old school, I've seen some people compare him to Monte Ellis.
Okay.
Just one of those guards who can get into the paint, score 20 on any given night. And I think in today's NBA, you want guys who can create those three-point shots for others. That's what makes Zion so dynamic, right? Not just him scoring in the paint, but the fact that he can create threes for others. And when you watch Fears, when he's playing well, he just lives in the paint. And that's something that can just create so much offense for you, especially when you got a lob threat like Eve Nisi as well. So I think that's just the real thing for the Pels. They really want to find that guy at the point guard position, and it's not looking like it's working out all that well with DeJounte Murray. And who knows when you'll have an opportunity to get back into the top 10 and have a guy like Jeremiah Fear sitting there.
Yeah, and so, you know, I guess this will be my last question, and I'll let you run. I feel like halfway through the season, we were all looking at it saying, hey, the Pelicans can be the Grizzlies of this year and last year, right? Like, the Grizzlies kind of had all these injuries. They fell to the bottom, and then they immediately kind of bounced back when they, you know, got all these players back, and they had these young players who developed. And, you know, obviously the Desmond Bane trade and whatever. But, you know, what's your outlook for the Pelicans this upcoming season? Do you still feel like they can be that team, or have things changed to the point that it's hard? It's not really kind of that straight line back anymore? Because I do feel like with changing GMs and the way that season ended, it feels a lot different than it did midway through the season.
Yeah, it feels like the floor is a lot lower for this team, right? Like you mentioned before, in years past, they had so much depth. Like even, you know, when Zion was hurt, you saw the teams. They had Najee Marshall coming off the bench. They had Larry Nance. They had Dyson Daniels. They had Trey Murphy coming off the bench at that time. Like they were so deep that you saw Zion and say, hey, if Zion's healthy, if B.I. is healthy, they could be a potential contender in the West. But if not, you could still see them being around 40, 45 wins if, you know, stuff works in their favor. Now I think the pressure on Zion is higher than ever, because if he's not there, you really see a chasm of what's left to really pick up the rest of the team. And I think obviously we see Trey Murphy make a jump last year. I think he can prove to be a consistent 20-point scorer, but I don't know if he can do what like B.I. did during that year where they played Phoenix in the first round carrying the team without Zion Williamson. I think that's a lot to put on his shoulders, especially, like I said, when you don't have Larry Nance, when you don't have Najee Marshall, when you don't have these other guys supporting him. I think they do have some decent pieces coming off the bench. But we saw Jordan Hawkins kind of fall off last year, so he's got to respond. They're going to have a rookie coming in with that number 7 and potentially number 23 pick. Where do those guys factor in? They got Carlo Mackovich coming off of his rookie year last year. They're going to get him involved, but, you know, what does he look like now? So I think there are a lot of questions now with this bench, which means they need Zion Williamson to be healthy more than ever. And I think when you have Zion, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Eve Nisi out there, I think that's a four you feel really good about, right? They're athletic. They can make plays on defense. Zion was dynamic last year. But how good are they going to be in the West? I think that's still a lot to be seen, just because there's so much still up in the air in the West with the Kevin Durant situation. Where does Giannis end up falling? What do the Spurs do? I think there's still a lot to figure out once free agency and the trades are done. But I think with a healthy Zion Williamson, you feel good about potentially being in that 5-6 range, and then, you know, see where the chips fall after that.
My one wish: don't be boring. We'll see if they can do that, because that was
their
biggest
sin.
Boring. Their biggest sin of this last season was boring the second half. So hopefully they can avoid that. But great stuff as always. Will Guillory, check out his work over at The Athletic, over on X at Will Guillory. Thanks so much for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.